Welcome to Zenly Organized, a podcast that explores concrete ways to better organize yourself so you can live a fulfilling, meaningful, and Zen life. In short, the life you truly want and deserve. My name is Sarah, and here I talk about productivity tips, minimalism, goal setting, habit formation, personal development, self-care, and much more. Don't forget to subscribe or miss a new episode and go to zenlyorganized.com to find episode transcripts, downloadable worksheets, and more tips. Now, sit comfortably, grab a drink, and get ready to change your life for the better. Hey there, Zen Organizers! Welcome to the first episode of Zenly Organized. I'm super excited to have you here. My goal with this podcast is to help people that are always running out of time and energy to live a fulfilling, meaningful, and Zen life with more time to dedicate to what's truly important to them. So in this first episode, I want to help you define what's important to you so you can better organize your life to focus on that. And since we're still at the beginning of 2021, this is a good time to think about your future, set some goals, and put good habits into place. Why? Because research shows that people who make New Year's resolutions are 10 times more likely to commit to reaching their goals compared to people who don't. However, only 40 to 46% of these people will succeed in attaining or keep working on their goals 6 months from now. And this percentage falls down to 19% over a two-year period. One of the main reasons that explain these numbers is that you need to put into place a system that will lead to long-lasting changes if you want to maintain good resolutions and goals in the long term. As James Clear states in his book Atomic Habits, goals are about the results you want to achieve. Systems are about the processes that lead to those results. Goals are good for setting a direction, but systems are best for making progress. Through reading various books and trying different methods, I found that there are four essential steps or elements that must be present for goals to be achieved successfully. 1. You need a clear vision and priorities. 2. You have to set smarter goals. 3. You need to implement good habits. And 4. You have to list all the tasks needed to accomplish your vision, goals, and habits. I found that with this system, achieving my goals and working towards my vision has been much easier. I personally go over all of these first steps at least once a year, usually at the beginning of it. But I'd recommend reassessing your vision and goals at least twice a year. As for the habits and tasks, the more you evaluate your progress and consistency and make the required adjustments to accomplish them, the more chances you have to do so. I'd say to review them at the end of every month as a bare minimum, but every Sunday would be even better. Of course, you can also do this exercise for the first time in the middle of a year or whenever, really. Remember, it's never too late to work on your dream life. And so to help you with the implementation of this system, I've prepared a workbook where you'll be able to define your vision and your priorities, set smarter goals, implement and track your habits, and list all the tasks needed to realize your dreams. I'll put the link in the notes, and you can also find it in the episode transcript at zenlyorganized.com. So without further ado, let's dive into it. Before even thinking about your goals, it's important to define your vision and your priorities. The reason for that is that they'll be your main source of motivation. Whenever you feel unmotivated by a task or feel like giving up on your good habit, remember what it'll help you accomplish: your dream life. That's why it's important to start with the vision. Your vision is what you want your life to be like in a certain amount of years. I personally like to do this exercise for the next five years, but you can do it for the next year, the next two, the next 10, for your whole life, as you prefer. You can also define a vision for your personal life and one for your professional life if you think that it would be too complicated to imagine both together. For example, if you're an employee, well, your personal life and your professional life might be very separate. Whereas if you're an entrepreneur, then they tend to be a bit more aggregated. Just do what seems the best for you. The most important thing is to try to picture your ideal life as precisely as possible in your head. For example, where are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? How do you feel? How do you look? Okay, so try to put in as many details as you can. And also try to be completely honest with yourself during this exercise. Don't be afraid to dream big. Don't let your fears in, okay? Just if anything were possible, what would your ideal life be like? Once you've pictured this in your head, Write it all down somewhere so you can go back to it whenever you feel lost or unmotivated. And another great way you can record your vision is to make a vision board, okay? So if you prefer, if you're more a visual type, then that might be better for you. Vision board is basically a collage of images, quotes, words, or anything else that represent your dreams and desires. It's meant to inspire and motivate you when you look at it, so put it in a place where it's visible. For example, above your desk, or in your bathroom if you prefer, in your bedroom. But you have to see it often, and so this way it keeps you inspired and keeps you on track with your vision. So I personally worked on my vision. I really clarified it last September, and so I didn't really go over this step again at the beginning of January because it stayed the same. But I was really lost before, like last summer I was kind of directionless, and so I decided to really clarify my vision and everything, and it really helped me get a clearer picture, of course, of where I want my life to go. So for example, my vision is that I want to be an entrepreneur within the five next years. I'd like to have a house in the mountains because I really love outdoor sports and I'd love to be able to practice them daily if possible. And so when I picture myself, I see myself in like my office where I have a view all over the mountains. I feel really passionate about what I do. I feel aligned, fulfilled. I feel like my life has a purpose. I also live in my house with my boyfriend and a dog and a cat. So those are important elements of my vision as well. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's my vision. So it's quite simple, as you can see, but there are quite a few goals that encompass this vision. So for the next 5 years, it's feasible. After you've clarified your vision, it's time to define your life priorities. They should be as much as possible in harmony with your vision, but if that's not the case, you might have to reassess both of them and make sure you really dug deep and for your vision, and that you're honest with yourself and that you're not just thinking about priorities you think you should have, you know, because everybody should put family and friends first. No, but no, if it's not your priority, then it's okay. This is your life, your vision, your priorities, so you choose. So I'll give you a few examples of priorities, but of course there are so many others. So there are some that are not here, feel free to put them. So family and friends are an example of priority. Health, both physical and mental. Your work and career can be a priority. Your finances, your physical environment, for example, your home or your office. You can also have your personal development as a priority. Fun and recreation, you know, life is made to be enjoyed, so this can absolutely be a priority for you. There's also your spiritual life, etc. Okay, so there are so many. Choose the ones that suit you best. Your priorities are where you should put most, if not all, of your time and energy, so choose them well. And don't worry if right now what you choose as your life priorities, you're not focusing your time and energy on that, because that's the point of this exercise, to figure out what you want for your life from now on. So this might not be the case right now, but that's what you'll be working on in the next months, years, etc. But that will be something to keep in mind when working on your goals and habits and the next following steps, because you'll have to put them as priorities then. But also, another important thing to remember is that because you have finite amount of time and energy, you can't have 30 priorities. I won't tell you what's the correct number to have, because that's up to you, but don't bite off more than you can chew, okay? It's better to have fewer priorities, but put them as priorities than having too many and failing and feeling like your life is not going where you want it to be. So for example, my life priorities are my career, my family and friends, my health, and also traveling. But I also care about the other dimensions, of course, but I cannot make them all my top priorities. So I also like fun and recreation, and I also like to have money and to focus on my personal development. But those are not like my major priorities at this moment. They are kind of secondary. So I won't focus as much on these for my goals and habits and tasks, etc. Okay, now that you know where you want to go and what your priorities are, it's time to set goals that will help you accomplish your vision and prioritize what's more important for you in your life. As you probably know, there are countless methods to set goals. There's the Level 10 Life, the 5-4-3-1 exercise, the V2 Mom, the Whoop method, but the most famous one is probably the SMART method. However, I prefer the extended version of this acronym, which is SMARTER. So a SMARTER goal is a goal that is specific, which means it has to be clear and precise. Then it has to be measurable. So you must be able to track your goal and, know when you've reached it. It also has to be achievable. So it has to be challenging, but still objectively feasible. It also has to be relevant. So it should help you attain your vision and be aligned with your priorities. It should be time-bound. This is very important. You have to determine the moment at which you'd like to have attained it. Then it should be exciting, motivating, and meaningful, so you keep working on it even through rough patches. And finally, it should be reviewed. So goals have to be assessed and readjusted periodically to make sure they still correspond to your vision and also that you're on the path to success. So let's take a classic example of a goal that isn't SMARTER. I want to lose weight. It's difficult to achieve such a goal because it's too vague. How much weight do I want to lose? Is it feasible and healthy above all? Why do I want to lose it? When do I want to have it achieved? When and how will I assess my progress? Okay, so a much SMARTER goal would be, I want to lose 7 kilos within the next year, with here precise the date, because I want to be healthier. I will assess my progress monthly thanks to a weight tracker. So this is a SMARTER goal. It's specific, it's measurable, it's achievable, it's time bound, and it's reviewed. For the relevant and exciting aspects, then that depends on you. But you have to make sure they correspond to your vision and that it's a goal you want to achieve for yourself, okay? So not because society puts pressure on you, but because you really want to lose weight. But if these two aspects are met, then here we have a SMARTER goal. It'll be much easier to achieve this goal than the I want to lose weight one. So as for the number and complexity of goals to set, it'll depend on the period you've defined to achieve your vision. For example, in just 2 years, it might be difficult to build a multi-billion dollar empire if you're starting from scratch. But this goal is much more feasible over 5 or 10 years, for example. One quote I like to keep in mind when I clarify my vision and set my goals is the following one by Bill Gates. So most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. To avoid this trap, I suggest you divide your vision into different goal levels. So short-term goals, mid-term, and long-term goals. And when you do that, keep in mind that short-term goals usually take less time and energy to achieve than long-term ones. So you should normally have less long-term goals than short-term ones. But that's not really, like, it's not really scientific or anything. It's just like common sense. If you have more long-term goals than you have short-term ones, then maybe there's something you should check. But then again, it depends on the goals. Maybe it's okay this way. You also have to consider that you don't necessarily have to work on all your goals at the same time. For example, if your 5-year vision consists of starting a business of your own and buying a house, much like my own vision, you might want to start with the business goal first for the first 2 or 3 years. And then once you're on track with that one, then you could start looking for a house. I think because otherwise it might be a bit overwhelming to do both at the same time. And also you might need money to buy the house. So you might need the money from your business first, you know. But this doesn't mean that you can't start tackling some of your short-term goals associated with your house in the meantime. Okay, so it's not because you're not working on like the actual act of buying the house that you can't tackle some of the smaller tasks that are inherent to that goal. For example, defining your budget for the house, visiting houses, getting information on loans. If you want to build it yourself, maybe like start drawing some plans and everything. So it's not because you're not actually buying the house at the same time as you're working on your business that you can't work on the goal itself. I don't know if that's clear. I hope so. And that's actually also the main benefit of defining different level of goals, is that you can work on different levels at the same time without having to tackle like long-term goals, big goals at the same time. I really hope this wasn't too confusing. Let's move on to the third element of this system, which is to implement good habits that will help you reach your vision and goals. So in order to reach your goals, you have to put some habits into place, because as James Clear says in his book, success is the product of daily habits, not once-in-a-lifetime transformations. So if you want to achieve your goals and therefore your vision, it's important to think about the daily habits that will help you get there. So to go back to our weight loss example, there are different habits you could put into place to reach this goal. For example, you could go to the gym 3 times a week, or you can decide to walk 30 minutes every day. You could also go more on the eating aspect of this goal and decide to eat healthily 6 days out of 7, or eat breakfast every day if it's not already a habit you have. So those are just examples. There are many others, because for every type of goal, you can find many, many different habits that will help you get closer to your success every day. You just have to choose what works best for you. Here, I'll give you some more examples of other goals and habits that can be tied to them. So for example, if you want to build your own business, but you're still working full-time, you could dedicate 1 hour every evening to work on your business. If your goal is to save 1,500 euros this year, then you could put 5 euros in a saving jar every day. Or you could decide to spend a maximum of, I don't know, 30 euros every day. So those are two different tips. You could choose either and still reach your goal, for example. Finally, if your goal is to declutter your house, you could dedicate 15 minutes every day to declutter one drawer, one cupboard, or a particular surface, or you could go for a room. There are so many ways to go for every goal. Just find the habit that suits you best, suits best your need, and that will keep you motivated. That's really important. Also, don't choose habits that will be too overwhelming. Like, for example, if you don't like to clean and tidy up, well, it's unlikely you'll be motivated to declutter your house for an hour every day for a long period of time. And I mean, even I like to clean up, and like every day, it would be too overwhelming for me to clean up every day for an hour, okay? So if you work full-time, it would also be difficult to dedicate more than 1 hour a day for your business idea. You know, you also need to dedicate some time to yourself, to relax every day, otherwise you risk exhaustion. And we don't want that, okay? We don't want to be exhausted just because we want to achieve goals. That's not the goal here. Remember, for your habits to bear fruits, you have to commit to them in the long term. So there's no point in going to the gym daily for 1 week and then never go again. Start small, but do it steadily. That's how you'll enjoy the rewards of your efforts in the long term. And along the same line, you shouldn't try to implement too many new habits at the same time. You shouldn't try to put more than 1 to 3 habits in place at a time. If you want to implement big habits, like going to the gym 3 times a week or work 1 hour a day on your business, I'd even suggest you only try to implement this one habit until it's completely integrated into your routine. This might take a month, or it could take a few months, but until it's not fully acquired, refrain from implementing new ones, because it'll be a bit too overwhelming and you just risk to fail at every habit. And since implementing a new habit can be hard, I have a few tips for you. The first one is to have visual cues that remind you of the new habit. So when you implement a new habit into your routine, it's easy to forget about it because it's not integrated yet. So place in visual cues in tactical places to remind yourself of it. For example, if you want to implement a journaling practice in the evening, the best place to put your journal and your pen would be on your nightstand. This way you see it and you're like, oh yeah, it's true, I want to journal before going to bed. If you want to save money, then you could maybe put a message in your wallet that reminds you of your saving goal. If your goal is to work out first thing in the morning, then put your training clothes next to your bed. Okay, so the more you'll visually be reminded of your habit, and the more likely you will be to carry it out. Another tip is to take advantage of your established habits. This one is a tip I find really, really useful when trying to implement a new habit. It's called habit stacking, which consists in doing your new habit before or after a habit you already have. So for this tip to be successful, it's better to use a cue that is similar or done in the same space as the new habit. For instance, if you want to start flossing your teeth daily, well, the most obvious and useful habit you could use as a cue is when you brush your teeth in the morning or at night. I think it'd be harder to remember to floss if your cue was after I get dressed, which is usually something you do in your bedroom and it's not related to your teeth. But that's maybe just me. The best approach is to try different cues and stick to the most effective one. So if maybe for you, after dressing up, getting dressed, that will be the best cue. Try it and you'll see. And my final tip to help you implement a new habit is to track them. So a habit tracker is a great tool to make sure you stick to your habits. It's very simple. It's just like a table where you tick every time you do your habit. So this way you have an accurate picture of how well you're implementing your habit in your daily life. Because we have a tendency to overestimate how good we are at sticking with our good habits. So this tracker provides proof, or not, of your assiduity. Plus, it can give important insights on why you're not sticking to a habit or what factors might influence it. For example, if you see that you often miss your Monday gym session, there might be a reason behind it. Try to understand what prevents you from sticking to your habit on Mondays, and maybe change the day of or the schedule of your gym session. There are many reasons that can influence your habits, and by keeping the stats, it's easier to understand what's getting in the way. Additionally, the act of ticking a box when you've completed the habit is so satisfying and rewarding in itself that it gives a great motivation boost to keep you going. I just really love ticking my habit tracker. Once your habit becomes a part of your routine, the challenge is to stick to it in the long term, even on the days when you have no motivation to do so. But here again, I have some tips for you. So first, and I think it's the most important one, is to picture your successful self. So it's pretty easy. Just think about your successful self once you'll have fully implemented your habit and reach your goal. Try to imagine how you'll feel, how you'll look, how satisfied you'll be, and this will really, really help you when your motivation is down. This tip also works really well for tasks, by the way. So if there are some tasks that you hate to do, well, try to think about what they will allow you to accomplish in the end. Okay, so always have your end goal, your vision in mind when you're not motivated. And almost like 90% of the times, I'd say, it will help you go through and boost your motivation. Another tip I use a lot when I don't feel motivated to do my habits is that I have a different levels of accomplishment that I've set for each of my habits. So it's easy to think that only one missed day isn't a big deal, but this sends a message to your brain that it's not a problem to skip on your habits. And this attitude could eventually lead to the abandonment of your habits. Instead, I try to set three different levels of accomplishments for every habit so that I don't have an excuse not to do my habit even when I'm not motivated. For example, one of my goals is to meditate every day. So I've implemented these three levels. I either meditate for 15 minutes, which corresponds to the habit I want to implement. So, and which I strive to reach most days. Or the second level I have is to meditate for 5 minutes. This is the level for when I have less time or when my motivation is dwindling. And the third level is that I meditate for 1 minute. This is the level for those days where I'm thinking about not doing it at all. But 1 minute is much better than not meditating at all. Because here, I'm sending the message to my brain that even if I'm not motivated, I still have to stick to my habits. And it's really important if you want to maintain your good habits in the long term. Because, for example, in the past holidays, I didn't follow this advice. I didn't meditate or do most of my good habits, truth be told, for almost 2 weeks. And let me tell you, it's been hard to get back on track. So, okay, I know this is a classic example of do as I say, not as I do. But hey, I never said I'm perfect. And you should definitely learn from my mistakes. I know I will. And it's better to do 1 minute of your habit every day than not do it at all. So this level system helps me a lot when I do it to keep my good habits, even like when I don't really feel like it, or when, for example, during the holidays or some periods where you might have more work, etc. While you don't abandon them completely, you still maintain them. And my last tip for you to maintain your habits in the long run is to set out to do the habit just for 5 minutes when you don't feel like doing it. And this technique also works for tasks. So like the previous tip, this is one for when you're not motivated. And when this happens, you just have to talk yourself into doing the habit for only 5 minutes. In my opinion, 5 minutes are just enough to be worth it to start doing something, but they're not too many, so it's easier to convince myself to do it even if I don't feel like doing it. So for instance, if your habit is to go for a walk 30 minutes every day, but you don't feel like doing it, for example today, well, just talk yourself into walking for just 5 minutes. I mean, this is probably just until the end of your street and back, so it's not a big commitment. And you don't need a lot of motivation to do that. And most of the time when I use this tip, I end up doing more than 5 minutes. And usually I end up doing the habit as I had planned, for example, the 30 minutes of walk. So the fact behind this is that starting is always the hardest part. Once you're started, then the motivation kind of comes by itself. So this tip really kind of just gives you the push and then you're good to go. Okay, thank you so much for sticking with me this long. This is the last and final element of my system, which is to list the tasks needed to accomplish your vision, goals, and habits. So you've defined your vision, your priorities, your smarter goals, and your habits. Now, you have to think about the tasks that will help you put your habits into place, reach your goals, and achieve your vision. The more specifically you deconstruct your vision, goals, and habits into small tasks, the less overwhelming this whole enterprise will look and the more likely you'll be to succeed. Let's go back once again to our weight loss goal. I'll just repeat it if you've forgotten. I've given so many examples. The goal was I want to lose 7 kilos within the next year because I want to be healthier. I will assess my progress monthly thanks to a weight tracker. And I've decided to implement the habit of going 3 times a week to the gym to succeed at that goal. So what are the tasks that I need to reach this goal and habit? Well, maybe I don't have a scale, you know, actually I don't have a scale. So if this were to be my goal, that would be my first task. Then I'd have to subscribe to the gym. But here, if we really want to deconstruct the smallest into the smallest possible tasks, then we should probably divide the task subscribe to gym into 2 tasks. First, I would need to research the gyms in my area, compare their prices and services, and then go to the gym and subscribe to the one that fits my needs best. Another task I could have is that I might have to buy clothes because I might not have any training apparel. And then finally, since I want to assess my progress, you know, that's the measurable aspect of the SMARTER goal, I would have to create a weight tracker, whether in my bullet journal, for example, or on Excel or whatever program you use. So that would be another goal. No, sorry, not goal, task. So now that I've determined all the tasks I need to accomplish, I have to plan them, okay? If you don't set a precise date to complete your tasks, there's a big chance you'll procrastinate and won't get anything done. So it's really, really important to plan your tasks. In this example, there are relatively few tasks to accomplish, so it's not like a very overwhelming task that I risk being like paralyzed by fear because it's too much. But when you have goals that require many more steps and that might have important deadlines, like for example, starting your business or moving to another country, getting married, whatever other big goal you have, I think it's very important to list down all, and I mean all, the tasks you'll need to accomplish. Otherwise, the goal on its whole will seem daunting and discouraging. Once you list all the tasks and plan them, you'll realize that your goal is simply made of many small, feasible steps that will eventually lead you to its accomplishment. That's what happened when I decided to start this podcast. At first, I was so intimidated by the undefined amount of work to be done that I procrastinated for a few days. I literally did nothing to work on this goal because I was paralyzed by fear. But then I decided to put my own advice into practice. So I sat down and listed all the tasks that had to be done to launch my podcast and get to this day. Once I deconstructed this big goal into its smallest units, it didn't seem as unachievable as it had in the past few days. Each of the small tasks taken individually wasn't difficult. I could totally do it, you know? So I just set a date to complete each of them, and here we are today. After a few months of work, the podcast, this episode, and two others are launched. What seemed impossible at the time has now been achieved. And it all began with my vision of building a business eventually. Right now it's not, but, you know, small steps. And so after my vision, I just divided it into goals. One of them was to launch this podcast. Then I implemented good habits that helped me be more productive and efficient with my time so I could work on this podcast. And finally, I listed, as I mentioned, all the tasks I needed to do and step by step accomplished every step until today with this launch. So for me, it's proof that anyone can do anything, you know, with the right system in place, anyone can achieve their dreams, their vision, their goals, put into place some habits. So I really hope that these four essential steps, in my opinion, these are the four essential steps. I hope that they will help you stick to your resolutions and goals for longer this year and maybe even the next coming years. That would be great. So don't forget to download the workbook I've prepared to help you achieve your dream life. And that's pretty much it for me today. I wish you guys to achieve your goals, make progress on your vision, and stick to your good habits because you deserve to have the life you really want. And I'm sure that with the right tools, the right system, you will achieve anything you want. So I wish you a beautiful 2021, and I will see you guys soon. Thank you for listening until the end. You can go to zenlyorganized.com to find the episode's notes and all the mentioned resources. That's it for me today. I wish you a zenly organized week, and I'll see you for the next episode.